This evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. And this evening I want to look at the opening of the fifth and the sixth seals. The opening of the fifth and the sixth seals as found in Revelation chapter 6. And this evening we're going to be reading verses 9 through the end of the chapter. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through the end of the chapter. Isaiah, were you able to get the tape player on? Okay. Revelation chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until the fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, and when I had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of the heaven fell onto the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let's just bow in prayer. Father, as we come before you this evening, Lord, I pray that we would be sobered by the words that we read this evening. Lord, may we understand the tremendous faith of those that were willing to and are willing to place their lives on the line not to compromise the gospel. And Father, may we just be stirred as we look at the fate of those who are unwilling to yield their hearts and lives to you. And that one day, the day of your wrath shall come. Lord, as we look at your word, help us to be stirred and may your spirit speak to us. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22, I want you to read what the Lord Jesus said about the last days. Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 and 22. And the Lord was answering in response to his disciples about what events should transpire before he established his kingdom. And in 21 and 22, And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And so we see here I started verse 21. Read it again. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if you turn with me to Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day shall be a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. The prophet Zephaniah, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, as well as our Lord Jesus Christ, speak of this coming day. We've just read in the book of Revelation, it's a day that shall be preceded by tremendous persecution of the believers of Jesus. We live in a world today where we're beginning to see the events transpire that are pointing to the fact that this day could be approaching very quickly. You go to the Middle East today, and in this last month, there have literally been hundreds of Christians killed for their faith. There were a number of students attending a Christian college in Kenya that were killed by Muslims. There are Christians that were, a number of them, from a town in Iraq that were lined up, and the men were beheaded by Muslims. There are Christians throughout the Middle East that are being thrown into prison today, some of them killed by those that would come against our Lord and Savior. As we read in this book, read in the Bible this evening, the fifth seal when it's opened. It's an interesting seal. Every one of the seals, the fourth seals, dealt with the coming Antichrist, the coming plagues, the coming disasters that would be upon the earth, and the coming death that would be there, where a quarter of the world's population would be killed by the wrath of God and the things and events that he would bring about. But then we have the fifth plague the fifth seal that's open, and it tells a different story. It's a revelation of those that stood true in the face of death. And it's their cry for justice to come, and how long will it be? We see that these martyrs for their faith are under the altar. It doesn't tell us what altar they are under. There are various altars. We have the altar of incense, which offers the prayers of the Lord, but there's also the altar of sacrifice. And in all likelihood, they stood underneath the altar of sacrifice, where they had given their lives to stand true to the God that they love. And we see that as they are under the altar, there's two reasons that they were killed for their faith. They were killed for their faith for two words. One, for the Word of God. And the second, for the testimony they held. The first, the Word of God. You know, if you look at many Christians today, we're having a conference, and the main theme of the conference is, whatever happened to the Bible? And the reason that we pick that theme is because you go to many churches today, and the Bible may not even be taught. You may not even have the Bible expounded upon by the pastor as he preaches. You won't have people living by the Bible. You'll have Christians that say they're Christians, but yet they never open the Bible. They never read the Bible. They never look to the Word of God. But we see that those that are standing before, that are under the altar, before the throne of God, have been martyred, many of them, because of their stand for the Word of God. I want you to know today that there are many people that don't believe the Bible. And there are many people that hate the Bible. It's an interesting thing. When Mark Cahill was here last year, I don't know if you remember when he started one of his messages, he held up the Bible and he said, I want you to open your Bibles, but I want you to realize that you're opening up the most dangerous book in the world. And that this book is a powerful book. And you shouldn't take it lightly, because this is a book that transforms lives. And this is a book that changes the direction of men's hearts and the way that they live. And that this book reveals to us the will and the purposes of God and shows to us the very character of our Lord and Savior. It's a powerful book. And it's that we as God's people should hold dear His Word. So much so that we should be willing to lay down our lives for it. There were men in the past that did just that. You can look at some. We have the Bible today because of men willing to, Wycliffe and others that were willing to be persecuted as they brought the average person the Word of God. You know, there are many places in the world today where people don't have the Bible, or maybe they've just got one or two chapters, and they'll be passing those chapters around throughout the believers in a Christian community, and writing them down and copying them down so that they can have some of the Word of God for themselves. And in America, we take it so lightly. Oftentimes we have all kinds of Bibles in our houses that never get opened. And many people have a Bible that's just collecting dust, and yet they never open it up. And there are Christians all over the world today that will be willing to lay down their lives for this book just to be able to read it and to understand more of who God is and what He has in store for their lives. Well, we see here that the martyrs that are in heaven had laid down their lives, and one of the reasons was for the Word of God. Are you willing to take seriously God's Word? Remember when Tom was bringing messages, when he first came and had preached a couple times, and he'd stand up and he'd ask us, how many times did you read the Bible this week? And he asked how many of us had read it every day, and would you raise your hand and go down the list, 6 days, 5 days, 4 days, 3 days, 2 days, 1 day, or didn't you read it at all this week? You know, that's kind of convicting. Because we have opportunities. We have opportunities to do what we want to do. Yet how many of us take the time to spend just a few minutes, if not an hour or more, reading God's Word? And we see that the Word should be precious to the believer. It was precious to those that laid down their life because they laid it down for the Word of God. The second thing is for the testimony they held. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were unashamed to tell people about it, even if it meant they would lose their life. And they did, those that were before the throne of God, the martyrs that were before the throne. They'd lost their life because they were unashamed of Jesus who had saved them, and they were willing to testify to that fact, even though it meant that they would lose their lives. Right now in America, we don't lose our lives for sharing the gospel. The day may come where we may have to lose our lives for it, but today we don't. And yet, I know myself, there's times where I know I should share with someone the precious love of Jesus and the gospel message, and yet I hold back. Why? Because of fear of what they might think? But these people, if they don't know Jesus, are going to hell. I was talking to a man today at lunch, and we were visiting, and he wants to bring in a man who God has laid on his heart to encourage the church to share the gospel. And he's gone to India, and he's taught people how to share the gospel. And he's gone to Africa and taught people how to share the gospel. And he wants to come to North Dakota and teach people how to share the gospel. Because he said, there's people all around us going to hell, and we don't have a burden for them. And God has laid on this man's heart just a desire that people would share the gospel if they're believers in Christ. Well, those that were martyred for their faith throughout history, they had no fear of sharing the gospel, but they wanted people to hear. Some of them, as they were dying, and can read in Fox's Book of Martyrs, people that were martyred for their faith, many of them as they died, people came to faith as they saw the tremendous faith these people had as they laid down their lives. All they'd have to do is say, Jesus isn't God. You don't have to believe in Him. I don't believe in Jesus. And they could have been set free. But instead, they said, no, He's the Lord, and I'm willing to die if I must die, but I will not recant my faith. And there's people that saw such faith in those people that they came to know Jesus. That is the kind of faith that these people had. And I want you to understand, as they're before the throne, they're crying out to God to avenge those that have come against them. But I want you to understand that the Lord, the death of the saint and especially the martyr, is precious in the eyes of the Lord. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 to 39. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Oops, sorry, getting the right verse. Chapter 11, verses 35 through 39. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And that is the promise of Jesus Christ. He's speaking of those that were in the old, came before Jesus came. And yet their faith was such that they were willing to even suffer death because of the promise of Jesus, the one who would come. We can look back and see that Jesus has come. And do we have that type of faith? The Apostle Paul tells us that God gives a special reward to those that are martyred for their faith. There's a special crown given to those that have laid down their life to show their faith to the Lord. Well, these martyrs in the book of Revelation, the seal is open, and so that we can see that God has a special place for them. We can see their cries, and they appeal to God's character and His sense of justice, and they appeal for the following things. We see that they understand that God is the one that must carry out revenge against a world that has rejected Him and His servants. The Lord tells us that revenge is the Lord's, it's not ours. And we're called to share the gospel, whatever it costs us, but that's our commission. And God says, I will deal with the ungodly. I will be the one that judges, and my justice shall be met out upon those that refuse to hear. But it's not up to us to bring revenge or vengeance to those that do not hear. That is God's responsibility. And so these people are appealing to the fact that God is the one that is to carry out vengeance against them. They appeal to the fact that God has sovereign authority, that He is in control. And sometimes it may not seem like He's in control. You can look at what we read in Hebrews chapter 11 and you go, these were the godly people. They were the ones that were faithful, and yet they're being persecuted. And the ungodly, it seems to go about that nothing happens to them. But God is sovereignly in control. Number one, sometimes He allows things like that to happen, that some of the unjust can still be saved. And He allows things to happen so that ultimately things will be done in His time by His authority and His power. And so we see that these martyrs are appealing to God's sovereignty and His authority. We see that vengeance and judgment, again, like I said, belong unto God. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, we read the following. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And so we see that vengeance isn't by us, but we've been called to love. Jesus said we're to even love our enemies, even as ourselves. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 34 through 43, we read the following. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge His people and repent Himself for His servants, when He seeth that their power is gone and there is none shut up or left. And He shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat of the fat of their sacrifices and drank of the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. And so God wants us to look to the fact that He is the one that is the one who brings about just judgment. And if you would turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" So when things become difficult in our lives, when we may feel persecuted and we may feel that there are those coming against us, we're not to seek vengeance ourselves, but we're to turn it over to the Lord. And it's in the sixth seal as it's open, God is going to deal with these people. I believe that He wants us to seal this, and why it was a seal in the scroll is to see that in the last times, God is going to deal and justice is going to be done, and vengeance will be met out against those who refuse to bow the knee and refuse to come to Christ and refuse to turn to Him, that He will deal with them. And so we see existing punishment belongs in this world belongs to civil authorities. God gave that in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. But these people are crying out and asking, eternal judgment, when is it going to come? How long and when? Sometimes that's the question we may ask. You can look at the circumstances that happened, just like what I mentioned at the beginning of the message this evening about those around our world that have been killed. Innocent Christian students in Kenya and Sunday school kids that were killed on their way to Sunday school in Indonesia. Other things like that. And we say, why? And how long? And Lord, bring justice and judgment. The Lord is showing as He opens up these seals, I'm hearing your prayers, I'm hearing their cries, I am dealing with it. But it's coming in my time, in my way. And so we see this. Verse 11. In verse 11 we read that God hadn't forgotten these people. He says, we realize three things. That these people, as they sat before the throne of God, that they were conscious and aware of the promises of God. And when we go to heaven, we're going to be conscious and aware of the promises of God. We're going to be aware of who He is and what He has said that He would do. The second thing we see is that they had received a body in presence because they were given white robes to wear, and that the believers that they were resting at this time before the throne of God, waiting for the kingdom to come where they would rule and reign with Christ. And God had not forgotten the promises that He had given to them. And the fourth thing is that God's plan is on schedule. God's plan is on schedule. We may say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't realize what's going on. It seems like the world is out of control. The church, the true believers are being persecuted. It seems like there's less people that really believe in your word, that really want to stand up for the testimony of Jesus Christ. But God's plan is on schedule. He has not forgotten us, nor will He forsake His promises. And that many believers, as we read later on in Revelation chapter 7, that they needed to wait for this to be dealt with completely, because there were going to be other believers that were going to be martyred for their faith, as we're going to see in Revelation chapter 7 a little later on, when they stand for the truth in the last days. So the fifth seal deals with the martyrs and their cry to the Lord, and that God has not forgotten them. This is a tremendous promise to us, because just as God does not forget those that have paid their life throughout history, He does not forget His saints now today, nor will He ever forget us. He is faithful and just to be there with us and to help us. I was going to go into the next seal, but we're out of time, so we won't go into that tonight. We'll take a look at that next week. But as you look at this, one of the things that we need to be encouraged by is in those days where we ask why or how come or how long will this continue, realize that we serve a God who's in control. He knew the beginning from the end. And He revealed to us as He's opening these seals of the last day that even though the people are in heaven that have been martyred for their faith crying out, He's saying, trust me, believe me, I'm going to reveal to you all the things that are going to happen. And my wrath and judgment are coming. And we've already saw that it begins with the four horsemen, which we studied last week. And it's going to end up in the new heavens and the new earth when he comes and establishes his kingdom forever. But in between, he will judge. And justice will be met out. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these things. Help us to realize that you are a God who hears our cries, who hears our prayers, and Father, who cares deeply about us. So much so that your word says that there were those who were willing to lay down their lives that they might obtain a better resurrection. That is, that they could receive a crown for their faithfulness in seeking to serve you even in the face of death and persecution. Lord, may we have that type of faith as we walk the rest of this week and in the days ahead. And Father, help us to be willing to share with others the truth of your word and stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to not be ashamed. But Lord, may we be known as those who are willing to lay down our lives for the word of God and the word of our testimony. Go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.